Welcome back to The Source. I'm producer Paul Flav, sitting in for David Martin Davies. He is out sick today. After 2 years of negotiation, the city of San Antonio and its police officers union have a contract proposal. Though the new deal came without blue flu or staffing cuts, there was no shortage of tough talk and animus. A contentious mayoral race, a lawsuit, the protracted negotiation was not without its drama. The city was pushing its message that the rising costs of health care would have public safety consuming two-thirds of the annual budget unless SAPD officers started chipping in. Here's a clip of city manager Cheryl Scully back in August of 2014.
Is there anyone out there that doesn't contribute toward their own cost of health care for themselves and their family? We know that they have very difficult jobs. We cover on-the-job injuries. We invite them to participate in wellness activities and the cost of health care and in managing that.
The big stick in the city's arsenal these past few years has been their lawsuit over the constitutionality of a contract clause keeping the current contract deal in place for 10 years, called an Evergreen Clause. The police union wanted the city to drop its lawsuit and many times left the bargaining table in protest over its continuation. They won an early court battle over the Evergreen Clause. Here's police union head Mike Kelly on TPR's The Source soon after that win last year.
And the answer to your question, I could put it in two words: total vindication. Our membership is elated that we had such a resounding victory from the judge.
That case still under appeal and would need to be dropped by the city in order to approve the current contract proposal. But what do you think of the deal? Did the city do right by its boys in blue, or did the city get steamrolled? We want to hear from you on this because you're going to be the ones paying for it. Give us a call, 210-614-8980. Joining us to talk about the deal and what it means for San Antonio is Express News Metro columnist Gilbert Garcia. Gilbert, welcome back to The Source.
Thank you.
Well, what you should have gotten from those clips was that they were all in different years, and so this has been going on for some time.
It's been a long process. I mean, really, we're looking at close to 3 years. The opening salvo is really like late summer of 2013 when city manager Cheryl Scully said, we're looking at some real problems 20, 25 years down the line with the exploding cost of health care. If we stay on this path, this is going to swallow up the general fund budget, and so we need to make some changes. So that was kind of an early statement going into collective bargaining that we're gonna have to do things differently.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I remember that opening, that them laying the groundwork for that argument because they knew that this was going to be a tough fight. I don't think they knew it was going to be as tough as it's been. And I'm actually interested, think back to that time. Take yourself back, you know, close your eyes if you need to. The big issue back then was streetcar.
Right.
You know, that was the big hot button. But the police union was not really in the picture in terms of a political force. So tell us about the police union then versus what we see now as a robust player in the San Antonio politics.
They definitely took a stance, and this has affected city council elections, where if you're not with us, we're going to be more aggressive. I think the fire union has taken a stronger stance. Like, they really mobilized people against the streetcar effort. And these two police and fire contracts, they're kind of joined at the hip, you know, but the fire union basically took the position of, if you're not going to pay us, if you're not going to deal with essential services, what are we doing spending on that? And so they had a petition drive. So yeah, absolutely. They have been a really big force since then.
And can the case be made, and this is obviously an argument, but can the case be made that this protracted negotiation was the best thing that ever happened to the police union?
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far. I mean, they have had to give up something. I mean, if we look at this contract, I think overall, given how long the city went through this battle and the cost of the lawsuit that they filed over the Evergreen Clause and all that, it's hard to look to see what the city got that much out of this long process. I mean, the police officers got a really healthy raise. They're going to get a 3% bonus, lump sum bonus, in the fall of this year when we hit the next fiscal year. And then the next 4 years, they get bonuses totaling almost 15%. The city has agreed, if this gets approved by the police union and by city council, to drop the lawsuit over the Evergreen Clause, which was a big sticking point for the union. They've agreed in this mediation deal to an 8-year Evergreen instead of 10-year, which for all practical purposes, are we ever really going to go to 10 years anyway? So I think there's not that big a difference as far as the union goes. they'd been willing to kind of bend a little bit on that. I think the big thing that the city got was that they had been saying, you know, we have this healthcare plan with no premiums, and they're very rich. It's a very rich healthcare plan, and healthcare costs are going up. This is unmanageable. They did get the police union to agree to a plan that has premiums. And so there's basically now what they call a value plan that has premiums. And then there's the consumer-driven plan, which is not as rich a plan, but it has no premiums. And I should say that the value plan has premiums only for family members. Neither
right.
plan involves premiums for the police officers, but one has premiums for the family members, another no premiums at all. So the city got them to compromise on that. But having said that, the union kind of accepted that that was going to be part of the deal quite a while back. I mean, I think they realized going into it, we're going to have to accept the idea that there's going to be an option that will involve premiums.
You know, in the press conference preceding this deal, they touted that they would be chipping in for their health care.
Right.
But like you said, in no situation are they chipping in for their own. It'd be for dependents only.
That's right.
So is it, I guess, you know, they wanted 3 years in an Evergreen. They got 8. They wanted them to chip in. They got dependents. They didn't want it to take up more than 2/3 of the budget. In a couple years, in 4 years, it's projected that it may.
Yeah, the city projection is that it'll go up to 67.6%. And both city manager and the council had stated we want to keep this at 66% as a maximum. So the city has been willing to go beyond that. I think the big thing, you know, if you look at last fall when the union walked away from negotiations, because they were getting pretty close,
which was not the first time they had walked away.
Yeah, and they had reached that point where they had agreed on all the basic concept, which is, mm-hmm. like I said, we're going to have two healthcare plans and so on. But the thing that was really holding things up was that the city wanted an escalator clause for premiums that would extend into the Evergreen.
Right. And so if you couldn't come to a deal, your premiums are going up. Regardless.
And the way this thing works is, you know, for instance, if you're paying healthcare for yourself and your family members, spouse and children, first year, your premiums under the value plan, if you're on that plan, would be $125. Next year, would go up 10% every year. And the city was saying, well, if we go into Evergreen, we want that 10%, that escalator clause, to keep going. The union did not accept that.
Mm-hmm.
And at a certain point, with that as the big sticking point, they decided, well, we're walking away altogether until you drop this lawsuit over the Evergreen clause.
Okay.
And so what the city got ultimately in this mediated deal was they got that 10% escalator clause into the Evergreen. Now, how much effect this is going to have in the real world is hard to say because, I mean, are we really going to go 8 years into an Evergreen? We went 2 years this time.
Right.
Will we ever go 8 years? So will that escalator clause really mean that much? I don't know. But it symbolically, I think it was important for the city to say, well, we got you. We got this.
We're going to talk more about that after the break. We're talking about the potential deal in the saga of the police contract with the city. Do you think the public got a good deal? 210-614-8980 is the number to call. Are you a police officer and are you happy? Or are you not happy about having to chip in on this health care? 210-614-8980. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm Paul Flav, and we'll be right back after a break. Welcome back to The Source. I'm Paul Flav in the studio with me, Metro columnist for the San Antonio Express News, Gilbert Garcia. We're talking about a possible deal between the city of San Antonio, its police force, on an employment contract. You can join the conversation by calling 210-614-8980. Are you relieved this contract deal may nearly be over? If you're a San Antonio police officer, give us a call and tell us what you think. The deal relies on you to pass it after all. Are you going to vote on it? 210-614-8980. Before the break, Gilbert, we were talking about the details of the deal, what some might consider hefty concessions from the city, but you wrote last week, despite its flaws, this deal marks a watershed moment for Taylor, and the city is better for this deal. Explain that.
Well, I think my understanding is that the mayor really stepped forward during this mediation process. Last Monday, they had a meeting which looked like this was basically going to be the last meeting during this mediation process. I think the mediator had more or less said, well, you know, we can't we don't get something done by
like a marriage
then,
counselor.
Yeah, there might not be a point in continuing. And I think she really stepped forward and said, "We've got to end this and reach a deal." And I think it was good for the city in the sense that they weren't going to get much better, and this was just going to go on and on. The Evergreen lawsuit was just going to become a really expensive, prolonged thing that was going to continue to divide the city. So they've agreed to give that up, and they the way the process had been going, I don't think they were going to get too much better than this.
Well, it had been going on for a long time. Mm. This is probably the biggest issue that Mayor Taylor's had to deal with.
Right.
It's been almost, I would say, her entire tenure
as
mayor.
And you know, the thing too, Paul, is that she almost needed to do this because, as we both know, the bad blood between the unions and City Manager Cheryl Scully had was so deep that there needed to be somebody who could kind of take the middle ground, or at least create the appearance that they were taking the middle ground. And because I don't think the union wanted there was somewhat of a resistance to letting the city manager look like she won anything. And there may have been some of the feeling on the other side, but there was a willingness to say, okay, well, we'll work with the mayor, or we're willing to let her have the victory. And so that's, you know how these things go.
Yeah. And it's not the first time she's had to step in to restart these kinds of talks. I know that, like you said, there's been bad blood between the city manager's office as well, and the police force and public safety. So, but we want to get a caller on the air. Wayne has called in. He called 210-614-8980. Wayne, you're on the line. What do you think?
I try to be as supportive as possible of my local law enforcement. I believe they do a very necessary function. But when the taxes on my property, my homestead, have gone up 24% in the last 8 years, while my income effectively has not, is there some point where I have to say, guys, love you, love the job you're doing, but we're getting squeezed on the other end?
That's an interesting observation, Wayne. Yeah, thanks for calling in, Wayne. Gilbert, any reaction to the property valuations and city services?
Yeah, well, and I think a lot of people I've heard from a lot of people who are upset about the valuations, and I think it's a big issue. I mean, I think what we're going to see, one thing that is interesting about this process is that we're actually going to learn some things. And I think Mayor Taylor sort of suggested this too when people said, well, now you're willing to go up to 67.7% of the general fund budget. That's higher than you wanted. And she said, well, these are projections. We'll see where we are in 5 years.
Right.
And I think that we have to see how many police officers are going to pick the plan with no premiums.
Right.
How many are going to pick the one with premiums? How is this going to how is it actually going to affect the cost? Because, when we look at wages, when we look at pensions, all these things take up a lot of money, but there's not that much growth in them. And it was really the health insurance plans those were the big concerns for the city, because there's a sense that they're just going to keep growing exponentially.
Right.
And so we're going to see in the next 5 years how many people go with each plan and what kind of growth we see. And it's possible if this ends up costing more than the city projects in 5 years, it'll be uglier than it was this time. I mean, these battles are going to keep going on, but I think that we really don't know for sure, because we now have split this into two plans and we're going to see who enrolls in what plan. We don't know exactly.
And there is the question of cost in general to continuing the lawsuit.
That's
continuing
right.
what we know that it has been reported that over $1 million had been spent, and that was a while ago. So I don't know what the total amount has been at this point, but there's also an opportunity cost when you're using resources to be looking at one issue for a protracted number of years in time. What are you missing out on thinking about? How are you failing to position the city for future opportunities? So what do you think now that is gone, the city is going to be able to free itself up to speak about and think about and govern?
Yeah, I think that what will be really interesting with this is I think for one thing, we've because of the bad blood, I think it's just created so much tension. I think that now we're going to look at one of the issues that the police officers had talked about was they're really short-staffed.
Mm-hmm.
They need more manpower, and that's going to be a question going forward, because that's been part of the case that they've made against the city, that the city's not doing right by them, according to the police officers, in the negotiations, and also we're not staffed the way we need to be. So I think it'll be interesting to see how the city addresses that staffing issue. I think that the police officers have said they believe that they're nearly 200 officers short of where they need to be. I'm sure there's some disagreement on that. But I think the other thing that's real interesting is that we can't forget is that the Evergreen lawsuit the city filed, they filed lawsuits against both the police and the fire union over the contracts. The Evergreen lawsuit against the fire union
will
is still in play.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're going to have to negotiate now. And we'll see if there is any rift that's created between the police and the fire unions, because the police have now agreed to this deal,
mm-hmm.
and the fire union...
The fire unions have yet to come to the table.
Yeah,
as
and they've still got a lawsuit hanging over them, and the police, you know, so... Is there going to be any tension there, because the fire union's on their own now, and they've generally kind of worked together on these things?
We're talking with Gilbert Garcia from the Express News about the police and fire contract, really the potential police deal. 210-614-8980 is our number. If you have a comment, do you think it's a great deal? Do you think it's not so great a deal? We'd love to hear from you. I'm interested in how this... The implications for this deal going forward. You were just mentioning that the city police have for a few years now been talking about how understaffed they are. Mm-hmm. Is this an easy way for the Scully's office or the city to say, I'm sorry, but you know, because you wanted X, you get Y? Yeah. Is this something that they can point to? And is the police and fire public safety going to become something of an out in terms of budget shortfalls to come?
Yeah, I think it's a great question, and I don't have the answer to that, but I think that it's something that that the argument could be made. You know, we're going to be looking at bigger costs. We're looking at you're getting a salary increase. We can't necessarily afford to hire more, and that's what's going to be interesting to see how they negotiate that.
Was there anything you found interesting about the timing of it? You talked about how the mediation had kind of come to a close, or it was basically mm-hmm. in a holding pattern for a while. But I mean, you could have said that from this deal, you know, 6 months ago, 8 months ago. So what was it? What was it that you think really changed?
There was just this sense that there was real weariness, and I guess the question is, why didn't that kick in earlier? But I think that both sides had reached a point where they were just really tired of the whole process. And I mean, the union could have just said, because the union walked away last fall and said, "You dropped the lawsuit, and we're not even going to talk to you until that you do that first." They were willing to go along with mediation. They were willing to work with the city on this. And I think it was just a sense that let's just try to get this thing done. And so I think that was. I don't think there was any necessary. It didn't necessarily coincide with any big political happening in the mm-hmm. city, or you know, necessarily even the budget process. Though we are going to be hitting the budget process.
You came in.
Exactly. And so that's going to really heat up in late summer. But I don't think it really had anything to do with that. I think it was just the sense that this might be the opportunity
mm-hmm.
to get this done. And if we don't now, I think, as like I said, I think that was the case that the mayor made on the city side, and I think on the union side, there was that same feeling. Now, the question is going to be what the rank and file do, and I think that's a whole other interesting thing, because you've got more than 2,000 police officers who are looking and saying, we had a really good health insurance package before, no premiums. Now, it's not going to be quite as good. What about this escalator clause in the Evergreen, which really, like I said, it really makes it something less than a pure Evergreen, mm-hmm. because by definition, an Evergreen would freeze everything.
Right.
And so the union's really going to have to, the leadership will really have to sell this to the rank and file. And
do you think it'll be a hard sell? Because I know, I mean, Mike Kelly says he is confident 60% are going to vote for this. And Mike Kelly has organized a no confidence vote against Chief McManus. He's managed to rally the troops on other occasions. Why wouldn't they? I mean, I feel like if the negotiators are weary, I got to imagine that these other folks outside the room were starting to get weary as well.
If I had to guess, I would say it would pass, but I do think they're going to have to really work and explain what the terms are, because there is a pretty strong faction in the police union that says that, you know, this again, that resents the city manager to such a degree and feels like, well, we Why are we giving up anything? And
right.
I think it's in the nature of any union mindset. You know, if we've negotiated something, why do we want to give some of that up later? So I think it'll be a challenge, but I think they'll be able to pass it. I don't have much doubt that the city council will go along with it, but I think that it will take some salesmanship on the part of the leadership of the union.
Really quickly, 20 seconds. Mm-hmm. What impact could this deal have on a future mayoral race? Could this be a weight around Taylor's neck? Is this something that someone could run on saying, this was a bad deal, you really did it this time?
Yeah, I think if everything passes, I don't think – I mean, I think there's some people who think it maybe is going to be a little expensive, but I think overall it'll be a net plus for her.
Okay. All right, this is all the time we have. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Gilbert Garcia, Metro columnist for the San Antonio Express News, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
I'm Paul Flav. David Martin Davies, we hope, will be back tomorrow. But if he's not, maybe I'll be here again. So thanks so much for listening, and tune in tomorrow, 89.1 FM, KSTX, Texas Public Radio.